Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And away we go, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Tom Brady is retiring from the NFL once again, but this time we do believe that the GOAT is walking away for real. And now joining us is a former teammate of TB12. The duo did win three Super Bowl championships together. And Larry Izzo, of course, did make three Pro Bowls as well during the course of his NFL career. Now he's coaching as the special teams coordinator, coming off a successful season with the Seattle Seahawks. Larry, I know it's been a while. Really do appreciate you carving out some time for us today. How you been?
I'm good, Zach. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So when you saw the news earlier this morning about your former teammate in Tom Brady that he's walking away after 23 seasons, just how'd you process it? How'd you react to it?
It didn't come as a shock just based on, where things were from last year to this year. Obviously, I'm happy for him that he came to a decision that he's happy with. And, his career has just been so remarkable, and so many people have just benefited from, what he's done on the field, that I'm just happy for him that he's in a place where he's ready to walk away. As a fan, I'm a little, you're disappointed because you're not going to get to watch Tom Brady play ball anymore. And that's, a little bit disappointing from a personal level, but obviously you got to look at it from his angle, and it's time, and nobody could have done it better than he did. So I'm happy for him.
I'm actually a little bit surprised today. I thought he was going to go on one of these free agency tours and pick a new team, or maybe just go back to Tampa Bay. I thought he was going to go for one more year, Larry. I really did.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have been shocked if that were the case either.
So I want to take you back to 2001, because you were there at one Patriot place as the Patriots were going out there and having this magical season. Bledsoe gets hurt, Brady comes in. Just all these years later, like when you're looking back on that, when did you know that Brady was going to be able to help lead that team and do a good job filling in for Drew?
I think we all knew pretty early. He had had a great camp. In fact, Damon Hewitt had been signed in the offseason to kind of be the backup to Drew. And then throughout the offseason and training camp, Tom kind of elevated himself above Damon. And so going into week one, it was Drew, Tom, Damon. So at that point right there, and I'd been around Damon for a long time, from, having played with him in Miami. So I knew the capabilities that he had. And then for Tom to, outperform him in that period, he was playing at a high level. So, the quarterback Drew goes down and then Tom comes in. Obviously, no one could sit here and envision that he was going to have the 23 years that a career that he's had. But we all knew he was capable. We'd seen it. We'd seen it every day in practice. And then it just slowly built as that year went along. He got more and more confident. And, obviously at the end of the day, we go down to New Orleans and, he leads us down the field to win the game. So I think we were all confident in him, but, you can never envision that it was going to turn out the way it did, obviously.
No doubt about it. Larry Izzo here with us. And I also wonder, if that story played out today, in the year of 2023 with like social media. I know Belichick doesn't give a rat's ass about that stuff, but Bledsoe was ready to come back that season. He's a $100 million quarterback. You even know that Brady got hurt in that AFC title game, and Bledsoe comes in and throws that big touchdown pass and helps punch that ticket to the Super Bowl. I just wonder what the backlash would have been like with everyone having a platform with social media if that would have played out 20-something years later.
Oh, yeah, it would have been interesting. It would have been an interesting week. And then remember, we didn't have, because that was the 9/11 year,
no bye week.
So there was no bye week. It was just, we went straight from Pittsburgh, went back to Foxborough, packed our bags, and then we were in New Orleans on Monday. And then it's remarkable that, you know, what Tom did to get back. You know, he had an ankle, I believe, you know, a high ankle. Those aren't easy to come back from. And then by Wednesday, we're in full pads practicing at Tulane, I believe, or Loyola, or one of the colleges down there. And Tom's out there practicing. And so then, obviously, you know, that the decision was, you know, was made at that point when he went out there and showed that he can get it done. But that was pretty amazing for him to come back from that injury in such a short period. And then, yeah, today's world, it would have been an interesting week for sure.
The leadership of Brady is always what's talked about the most. In the early years, and obviously with success and with the notoriety, he became a better and better leader, and obviously a lot more well-respected in the league and well-known. What type of leader did you see early on out of Brady?
Obviously, he's a natural leader. I've never met a more competitive person. You know, this guy hates to lose more than anybody, whether it's football, ping pong, whatever. If you're competing, he hates to lose. So, you know, when you have a guy with that kind of competitive drive, and the natural leadership skills that he had, it's easy to follow. And so, although he was, you know, we had a number of leaders there, you know, that was the year, you know, you got Lawyer Malloy, Willie McGinnis, Brian Cox, Brewski, guy, you know, older veterans that kind of carried the torch a little bit from that standpoint in terms of leadership. And then Tom slowly kind of evolved into that, and for sure on that first year. But at the end of the day, your quarterback is your leader. You know what I'm saying? And so by playing that position at the level that he was playing it, he was leading the team.
Yeah, the three Super Bowls, Larry, in 4 years. Like, were you able to like appreciate that in the moment, or did it just seem like that this magical run was happening?
No, yeah, we appreciated it for sure in the moment. It's pretty remarkable. Now looking back on it, it's been since the Philly Super Bowl that anybody's repeated. So yeah, it's extremely hard to do what we did, and it's something very obviously very proud about the accomplishments of that team. And so when you're in it, for sure you're feeling it, and you're aware of, you know, what you're doing in terms of how it relates to history and whatnot. But yeah, that was a special team. It was a special group that was able to, you know, stay together for a long period of time and put a lot of W's on the out there.
You're a competitor. He's a competitor. We all know that, Larry Izzo. But with how long he played, like, you were able to have a second career, go from a pro bowler as a special teams demon to then eventually starting your coaching career with the Giants, and you actually were coaching against Brady in a Super Bowl. Was that, I know you got a job to do and you were looking to win and you did so, but was that just like bizarre leading up to that week, preparing against your old team and a lot of guys that you knew in that locker room?
Yeah, no doubt. That was 2011. That was my first year coaching. And so, yeah, I was with the Giants. We end up playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And so, yeah, I had a lot of former teammates on the other side, and obviously Brady's out there. So yeah, that was for sure a unique experience for me, especially as it was my first year coaching. And here I am going up against my former team. Definitely surreal.
Brady away from the field, Larry Izzo, because I know you guys have done, I think, a few derby trips together. What is he like away from the field?
He's awesome. Awesome to be around. In terms of that competitive spirit shows up, I'll give you an example. Like early days, I think it was 2002, we're at some bar during training camp after, you know, one of the nights off, and we're you know, having a little bit of, you know, socializing going on. And we start talking, you know, in terms of chugging beer, you know. And so I'll tell you, I've never seen anyone that could chug beer like Tom Brady. I'm telling you, I used to feel really good about my skills chugging beer. In fact, we start competing and, you know, one-on-one, you know, man versus man chug contest. Brabel's even got my back. He's betting on me because he's seen my work. And Tom whooped my ass. Great time. I couldn't beat this dude. I couldn't beat him. It was amazing. So I don't know, just in terms of being around him, he's a great dude to be around. Always has a lot of fun. The energy that he brings is special. And so he's just got that personality that you want to be around him.
Safe to say Brady wasn't on the TB12 diet back then.
Yeah, that was pre TB12 for sure.
You gotta laugh probably all these years later with how strict he is on that diet and all this avocado smoothie nonsense. You were probably chugging beers and eating burgers with him back in the day.
Yeah, that was early Tom Brady days. That was before TB12, but obviously that paid off for him. For as long as he played, he figured it out pretty good.
Talking to Larry Izzo right now, former teammate of Tom Brady. The two won three Super Bowls together in the early 2000s. The relationship with Belichick, I saw Belichick release a statement today saying that Brady's the ultimate winner and he entered the NFL with little to no fanfare and leaves as the most successful player in league history. Do you think their relationship, and a lot of people think there's a dislike between the two, just got blown out of proportion throughout the years?
Yeah, I would think so, obviously. You know, when you're with someone for so long, obviously there's going to be some ups and downs, and nothing lasts forever. So eventually, you know, people are going to move on. So, but as far as their relationship, I can't really speak for it personally, but I'm under the impression that it's a solid relationship. The mutual respect between the two of them, that they've both accomplished so much together, the history that they have, obviously, you know, it's a strong relationship as far as I would assume.
So let's say 20 years from now, someone comes up to you, Larry Izzo, and they said, hey, I wasn't able to be alive when Tom Brady was playing football. How would you describe the type of player he was in your relationship with him? How would you describe him?
I've never been around someone with the competitive spirit and the drive that he had. And as far as how that fueled him into working to what he became, because it was a process. You know, the Tom that I played with in 2001 evolved into, you know, the Tom that played in 2022, and a lot of that was through just hard work and dedication. And to be able to do what he's done, to play as long as he did at such a high level, you look at what he did on the field this year. I saw it firsthand when we played him in Munich. It was like he was, you know, I felt like I was watching, you know, him playing in the early 2000s, just the way he was dicing it up. But so to do that, it takes a work ethic that is unmatched. And so I would say this was the hardest working, most competitive person that I'd ever been around. And he played the hardest position in sports at the highest level that anyone could ever play it. And he's the best player to ever put on a uniform and go out and play on Sundays in the NFL in the history of the game. That's how I would describe him. He's just one of a kind, and there's never going to be another one like him.
You knew that this was eventually going to end. You just never knew when it was going to come to fruition, because he was like fine wine, like you were saying. He just kept on getting better and better with age. Is there any part of you today that goes, yeah, I'll believe that he's actually retiring when you don't see him play football coming up in the fall?
I'm going to go with, I think, you know, I think he's comfortable with the decision. I would think, you know, he's not looking to drag things out. you know, in terms of what happened last year to this year, I would think that, you know, that he's done.
I also got to ask you about the Seahawks, you being the special teams coordinator. You guys had such an unbelievable season, and just from afar watching you guys, no one gave you a chance before the start of the season. I know that in this league, it's always Super Bowl or bust, and you think that way, but you guys got to be really proud what you accomplished this year.
Yeah, it was a fun year. Obviously, as you said, if you're not, you know, playing in that last game of the year, it is a disappointment. But in terms of, you know, outside expectations that we exceeded, it was fun to be a part of. We got a young team. It's an exciting time up here in Seattle. Got a lot of young, good players and that are hungry. So it was a fun year. Great group of guys to be around. Obviously, we just wish that we were still playing, but we're excited about the direction that things are going in.
Last one before we let you run, Larry Izzo. I think this is the most important question I've ever asked someone. There's this story about Belichick once giving you a game ball for taking a number two on the sidelines. Can you tell us that story?
You know, I'll just keep it short in terms of it is a true story. It happened. And as it relates to my role in the story is, like, I wanted to do whatever it took to win the game. And that's what I did. I was not going to be a guy that was unavailable to his team because he had to run off to the bathroom. And you know, I didn't want to be that guy. So I did what I had to do, and it was appreciated, obviously, by the head coach and my teammates. And it was recognized in the form of a game ball, which I still have to this day, and it's one of my prized possessions because it is a great story.
Yeah. Ted Johnson once told me that game ball is probably on a mantle in your office or something like that.
It's in my house. It's in a mantle in my house. but, you know, it's a funny story. It happens. But I am proud that I was there when I did not, you know, can you imagine? It's like your punt team's running out on the field. And it's like, where's Izzo? And, oh, he's in the bathroom. I didn't want to be that guy. So I had to take things into my own hands and get things done in front of 70,000 people in the Georgia Dome. And hopefully nobody noticed too much.
Not to get too personal. Did you use toilet paper or were there towels? You just had to use the towels on the sideline.
I'm very thorough regardless in that department. And so, yeah, everything was cleaned up properly. With excessive towel use.
No wet wipes on the sideline, I guess. Larry Izzo, really do appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this.
You got it. Good talking with you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So I want to get into some of the aftermath of the Sean Payton trade from yesterday that is going to go down, and we'll eventually see when it becomes official when the new league year does start. But anyway, when you get into the entire trade that goes down and you have Sean wind it up with the Denver Broncos, I said yesterday, and I still stand by this, that you look at Sean as a coach, he's wonderful. He's fantastic. But with that being said, I look at the situation in Denver, and I think it's a real tricky one. Because you're in the AFC West, where the Chiefs are going nowhere because of number 15. Justin Herbert is a really good quarterback, and there's a lot of talent on the Chargers. And I know the season ended poorly, but they still did make the playoffs. I don't know who's quarterbacking for the Raiders until the Raiders get their next quarterback, and we'll see what the reaction is. It's tough for me to take them seriously. But if they get Aaron Rodgers, I would probably put the Raiders up to number 3 in that division. So right now, I think the Broncos are the third best team in that division. But I don't think their apex for next year is really higher than that. Like, I would be surprised if they're better than the Chargers next year. Forget about Kansas City. We know they're going to win the division as long as Patrick Mahomes is healthy. And, you know, 4 teams have to go on out there and get into the playoffs because they're winning their division. The Chiefs will win the AFC West next year. Probably Buffalo will win the AFC East. You go Cincinnati, let's say, in the North. And then you would think Jacksonville will win the South. You then look around at some of the other teams. I look at a team like Baltimore. I think they're better than the Denver Broncos. You go around and you see like the Steelers. They went 9-8 this year. I think they're better right now than the Broncos. What is Cleveland going to look like next year with a full year of Deshaun Watson? If Tua could stay healthy, what do the Dolphins, that you think they're better than 9-8? You know, now maybe the Patriots having Mac Jones with a legit offensive coordinator. You know, they were 8-9 last year. Could they get back to 9-10 wins? So you go through some of those teams, and Tennessee was 7-3. If they go get a quarterback this year, maybe they make a return to the postseason. So I think it's a very tough thing to do for Denver next year, where the goal is going to be to make the playoffs, to actually make the playoffs. Now, Sean's a phenomenal coach, but I think it's asking a lot in a year to quickly turn around Russell Wilson and that offense. Like, defensively, they're good. But offensively, what do you really got? What really intimidates you with the Denver Broncos offense? Because I don't know how great Russell Wilson still is. I think maybe his ceiling just being a good quarterback, no longer a great quarterback. You would hope that the running back, Javonte Williams, could play an entire season after his injury from a year ago. Like, Jerry Jeudy, is he a number one wide receiver? I don't think so. I think he's like an in-betweener. I think he's more closer to a 2 than he is a 1. I like Cortland Sutton a lot, but he's not a number one wide receiver. So you look at that team, offensive line, question marks all over the place, and your best offensive lineman got injured last year. So I look at this team, I think it's a tough turnaround. I really do. And you also have the locker room dynamic of where is that relationship at with Russ and the other 52 guys that are on the roster. But when you move past all that, where in one breath I go, great move, great job by the Broncos, but the other thing, I just don't know, because of my lack of belief now in Russell Wilson, how successful this will be. But when you move on from this and just the initial move of Sean getting traded to the Broncos, right away, I would say we know that when you go into next season, Hickey, and I don't know where you agree with, if you agree or disagree with this, but can you think of right now one player for next season where we currently stand? And if a player gets traded and a big free agency signing happens, that could maybe sway your opinion in a different direction. But right now, is there a player in the NFL under more pressure for next season than Russell Wilson? Like, this was the most embarrassing year and one of the biggest fall from graces you'll ever see just in terms of play and lack of good production on the field. But now it adds even more pressure on Russ to turn around because it's not like you brought in some slap you-know-what as your head coach. You brought in a guy that's going to the Hall of Fame. So there's even more pressure where Russ has to show with, you can't have the excuse of bad coaching anymore, that Russ has to show that he could play and not just a competent level, but a good level again. And if Russ doesn't play well this year, we already had the conversation at times last year where there's going to be some people that start to say, when do you kind of just take your L and cut your losses with Russell Wilson? So I look at this, Hickey. I can't think of a player that's under more pressure for next year than Russell Wilson.
I would agree. Yeah, Dak, I think, has pressure on him, but not as much as Russ, in part because he was better this year than Russ.
And also, I don't think anyone actually believes that Dak Prescott could go win a Super Bowl.
True. I would say Josh Allen has some pressure on, but nowhere near the amount Russ will have. Yeah, I think it's definitely fair to say quarterback most pressure is definitely Russell Wilson next year.
And it's not like for example, the pressure's on Josh Allen to go win a Super Bowl. The pressure's on Dak Prescott to go win a Super Bowl. The pressure's on, if you even want to say, Kirk Cousins to go win like more than a playoff game. I know he didn't win one this year, but that he's only been able to win that one playoff game. And you got to be able to do more than that. But I don't think there's a lot of confidence that Kirk's ever going to be this great postseason quarterback. People have this confidence that Dak is going to be this postseason quarterback. And I would agree with you that there's a ton of pressure on Josh Allen to go win a Super Bowl, but we all know he's a great player individually. For Russ, it's a lower bar. It's go make the playoffs. And I can't confidently sit here and say, just because you get Sean Payton, who we all think is a phenomenal coach, that Russell Wilson's going to go make the playoffs next year. Like, if Josh Allen gets to an AFC title game and they lose, it's embarrassing, yeah. It's failing, yeah. But no one says, oh, they got to go replace Josh Allen. Like, if Russell Wilson misses the playoffs this year, you will have people that are going to start to look at the dead cap money and say, all right, 2024, it's $85 million. Then 2025, it's $49 million. Wait, but hold on. Let's see what the post-June 1 trade is or whatever that stuff is, where maybe the number drops, like when you have the Rodgers contract right now. That's going to be a legit conversation. We already had it at times this year where people started to talk about, maybe they move on from sooner rather than later. That's what happens if Russell Wilson misses the playoffs. And then I'll also say this, directly from the Sean Payton trade, I also think there's an enormous amount of pressure on the Chargers. Because even though I don't think it was likely that the Spanos family was going to move on from Brandon Staley in a year that he makes the playoffs, you know Sean wanted that job. I know Sean in every introductory press conference will get to the podium and go, oh, this is the job that I always wanted. Oh, this is where I want to be. It's a great situation. Wah, 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 wah. He wanted the Chargers job. That got leaked out by every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the media. He wanted the Chargers job. But the Chargers didn't want to get rid of Brandon Staley, didn't want to pay out the contract to Brandon Staley as their head coach. Or they also thought, well, we made the playoffs, so you could just, you know, we're moving in the right direction, even though they choked that lead up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Sean wanted to go there. And if somehow, and I think the Chargers have a better team, they don't have a better coach, but they have the better team. But if the Broncos finish in front of the Chargers, and let's say the Broncos, and I don't think they'll be a playoff team next year, but let's say they go 10-7 and the Chargers go from 10-7 to 8-9 or 9-8 and miss out on the playoffs, that's going to be, Hickey, one really bad look for the Los Angeles Chargers.
The only thing I'm debating in my head is how realistic it was. Like you kind of mentioned, are they going to give up draft capital and pay Sean Payton, I don't know, $15, $20 million a year, and also pay out Brandon Staley?
With the Spanos family, no. It wasn't right. Realistic, but that doesn't matter when we get into these conversations because you knew Sean wanted the job. You think a fan of the Chargers that wanted Sean Payton is going to say a year from now, if let's just say the Broncos finish in front of him, oh, okay. Yeah, it wasn't really realistic. I'm going to be level-headed. And it wasn't realistic that we were ever going to get Sean. Now they're going to say, what the bleep? Our owners are cheap, and we could have got Sean because he wanted the job. They just wouldn't trim the fat with Brandon Staley.
And I guess what's for me holding up is just the fact it's not like they're saying we believe in Brandon Staley more than Sean Payton. It's not like they are saying we trust our future is in better hands with Brandon Staley compared to Sean Payton. That's where I guess where I'm a little hung up, just because it's not like they're betting and telling you Staley's a better coach. I would agree that's probably finances. I would agree that's also probably draft capital.
But they also believe in Brandon Staley in some extent to continue moving forward with him as the head coach.
Yeah, in some extent, yeah.
So, like, that to me is, you could have got Sean.
But you could think Sean Payton's a great coach, but also think the price is too high. I think both things can be true. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not just trying to defend the Spanos family. I'm just trying to say when it comes to pressure on the Chargers next year, because of Sean Payton, I'm just not there yet. I guess that's what I'll say.
So
I'll phrase it.
So you don't think that, like, if you were a Chargers fan, put yourself in a Chargers fan's shoe. Next year, if let's just say the Broncos are better, you're not going to be sitting there as a Chargers fan and saying, wow, Sean wanted to be the coach, and now we have to deal with Brandon Staley with all of his analytics and all of his poor coaching if he has another failure next year.
I guess the way I look at it is similar to the Colts. I would love Sean Payton as my head coach. Were they ever going to hire him? No. So it's like, it's tough to play that what-if game, because like, even if they fired Brandon Staley, the odds of them hiring Sean Payton seemingly did not seem very high.
But
so it's not like it was
he wanted the Chargers. The Chargers didn't want him. Whether that's because they... It's not them saying that he's not a good coach, but it's because of however you want to interpret that Staley situation.
That's what I'm just saying. If it wasn't realistic from the first place, if I was a Chargers fan, I'm trying to put myself in that situation, I still know how irate I would be. It's easy to say,
okay,
but in reality, it's like, was he actually going to ever coach there?
Let me dumb this down then for you.
There's nothing to dumb down.
No, let me just dumb this down.
Dumbing down.
No.
I get what you're saying.
What I mean by this, because I don't think you're putting yourself in the shoes of a Chargers fan. If this was your team, the Colts, you would, like, let's say you had Brandon Staley with the Colts. You guys just made the playoffs, but you blew that lead. And then, like, Payton comes out and says, doesn't come out, but basically leaks that he wants to be the next coach of the Colts. And then he winds up in your division in Jacksonville because your owner didn't want to make the move to get rid of Brandon Staley. Even if you didn't think it was realistic to get him, but if Sean wanted to be the next coach of the Colts, you wouldn't be annoyed if Sean then winds up in Jacksonville and then is better than you? You wouldn't hold your owner accountable? You wouldn't hold Jim Irsay accountable for that?
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, if it's not realistic from the first place, it's just, I think it's easier said than done to be like, this team screwed it up. That's all. That's all,
okay.
I'm saying.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, the Chiefs dynasty talk is back on. We'll get into that and what a victory would mean coming up next Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs up against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think around the auto parts right car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We will get into the conversation real quickly about the Kansas City Chiefs and this dynasty push back on. But first, I want to play you Max Crosby, who was on with Bussin' with the Boys, and he called out Joey Bosa for complaining too much. Listen up.
Couple games ago, when dude had a meltdown and blaming the refs, and I see dudes blaming, well, no linemen hold all the time, refs don't call it. Like, I'll never be that guy, bro. I think that's, you know, like that is so weak to me. Like, you're gonna get held. Like, I know I get held all the time, bro. You watched the Rams last drive against us, bro. I was getting literally tackled, but I'm not gonna go and double down and go look like a little crybaby. You know what I mean? That's not me.
I'll tell you this, what I appreciate about the NFL a lot more than the NBA. And I think this has just been this season. There's been no juice with this NBA season yet. And there's never been a day that I've wanted to come in here and chat up about the NBA regular season so far. Like, don't get, I'm all up to date with the storylines. Like, I know the Celtics have been unbelievable. The Bucks, they're sitting there at 34-17. The Sixers and Nets are having good seasons. You know, I like what Donovan Mitchell is doing with the Cavs. You get in the Western Conference, the Nuggets have been great. Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, they continue to be a wonderful basketball team. The Kings have emerged this year. I know the Warriors got off to a shaky start, but now they're starting to put it together. They've won three in a row. Luka still has no help with the Mavericks. The Suns have been disappointing. We'll start to see if they get their act together. The Pelicans are on a terrible losing streak right now. I think they lost the last nine games in a row. So, like, you know the storylines, right? The Lakers have been bad. They're in danger of missing the postseason. So, you know what the storylines are in the NBA. But there's been no juice for this NBA season. And I'll say this, and I randomly thought about this. And I didn't think we were going in this direction, but now we are. When I hear Max Crosby basically call out Joey Bosa, like, there is some legit animosity in the NFL. And you saw it going into that AFC title game with Mike Hilton with the Burrowhead nonsense, and then that clearly motivated and annoyed, PO'd the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you don't get that in the NBA a lot. Like, there aren't a lot of great rivalries right now in the NBA, and there's just, hatred's a strong word, but if you use it in the sports world, it's different than the regular world. But I like when there's hatred in between teams. I like when players call out other players and aren't just trying to be buddy-buddy with everyone. And I love watching LeBron James play, but I say this all the time. It's almost like LeBron wants to be friends with everyone. Like, whenever someone does something well, he tweets about it, which is cool, right? Because you give that player, like, the tip of the cap. Oh, it's LeBron giving you the seal of approval. But I would love to see if, like, LeBron had some legit hatred with some players that are up and coming in this league. I think that's good, and I think that is healthy, Hickey, for sports, where it seems like everyone in the NBA is buddy-buddy, where the NFL, and sure, it could be a product of it being a physical, violent, deadly sport, but it does seem like there's more hatred and more rivalries and animosity in the NFL compared to the NBA.
It's funny, just, I guess, the timing-wise today, because I saw on Twitter Micah Parsons was getting dragged because I guess he wished Lane Johnson, like you said, I hope they win the Super Bowl for the division.
You know what? It's actually funny, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm getting annoyed with Micah Parsons these days. That dude is a mauler. And he seems like he's commented on everybody now, and he's giving, like, thumbs up to everybody. Don't do the LeBron method where you compliment everyone. Be a vicious guy on the field. And, yeah, you can have some friends off the field, but I don't need you being buddy-buddy with the entire league. And, yeah, if I'm a Cowboys fan, that's the irony is that is a rivalry, Eagles and Cowboys, where you got Micah Parsons wishing Lane Johnson. Like, you could say Lane's a great player, but wishing him luck, that's, like, a little bit too far for me.
Now, he did say is Jalen Hurts a good quarterback, so I guess we could say in one instance he's saying go Eagles, another instance he's saying, kind of pouring a little extra fuel on the fire of that rivalry.
Oh, you're talking about going back to when he was wondering about the system?
With
and all
Von
that?
Miller, and he goes, are we sure Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback? Are we sure?
Or is it just the system?
So there has been a little bit of both with Micah Parsons, at least. So if you want to get on for being too nice, yes, I will say he has also stirred the pot and added a little extra juice.
Now, would you agree with me, though, like, this NBA season, it's kind of been boring so far?
I mean, I've been watching, so it's like, I think the games are enjoyable, but in terms of, you know, right now we're going to break it down as this 8-game losing streak, you know, a thing for the Pelicans, that's not really, you know, a national topic, I would say, right now.
Yeah, like, what are the big topics from, like, I rattled you off, like, 8 or 9, like, what really moves the needle for you in this NBA season? Because there's a difference, right? We could see crappy football, we still watch. Yeah, you always watch as a fan, that's what you do. But I just have not been excited about this NBA season.
Nets have been interesting for me. That's a team that I keep an eye on.
Okay.
They've been actually better than expected. Their cohesion is better. Jock Vaughn actually seemingly has Kyrie locked in, which is a shock. How about that? But, you know, storylines here and there.
What are your big moving storylines outside of the Nets? Just wondering.
Like I said, I would agree with you. I think there's a lot right now. There's not, you know, a lot I'm breaking down on Saturday mornings. That's for sure.
Yeah, like that. Actually, that's a great way to say it. How much basketball have you done on that Saturday morning show that you have?
I think right now, so far, none.
Exactly. And I get it. Right, we're right in the thick of coming off. You're right towards the end of the finish line of the NFL season. We just had a wonderful college football season. We know football moves the train, but I'll tell you. I could use some drama here in the NBA. I could use some hatred between individuals in the NBA. Because right now, this has been a snooze fest of an NBA season so far. Really has been. All right, this Chiefs potential dynasty. So Chiefs talked about dynasty, like a lot of teams do after winning their first Super Bowl. Then the next year they got back to the Super Bowl, but they lost. Then the year after that, they lose in the AFC title game. Now they're back in the Super Bowl. To win it, to be a dynasty, you got to get like three championships in 5 years. You know, you could even go 3-6 is probably like the look of a dynasty. And right now, they had the championship, then the Super Bowl appearance loss, the AFC title game loss. If Kansas City wants to get back into that dynasty conversation, they got a win coming up next weekend, Hickey. Even if they don't repeat, they got to go win 2 in 3 years if they want to enter back into this dynasty conversation. And that is a big historical part of this game, the road to the next NFL dynasty. Because we saw the Patriots dominate football for 20 years. If Kansas City goes up against Philadelphia and loses, barring them then going back-to-back in the two seasons after that, you could kind of really put that dynasty talk back on the back burner, which it did go on the back burner like last year when they lost to the Bengals, but now it's popping back up again, and the water started to boil once again in the dynasty talk because of the fact that they're back in the Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this. How do you refer to the Patriots dynasty? Do they have one or two?
Two. Now, here's the thing. That's a great question because it's Brady and Belichick, and you look at them, those are the two big figure pieces of that dynasty, and they have six. But I would say that it was two different ways of the dynasty. It was the new dynasty, and then it was the old dynasty, and then the new dynasty.
I personally look at it as one. I know they had a 10-year gap in between, but I just, when you are that dominant, it's like outside of 07, it's like they were, you know, no man's land, not winning. Like they're in the playoffs every single year.
But just real quickly, you're not wrong. But if they didn't have that second wave of championships, you would have said the dynasty was from, like now, you would. If they never had that second wave of championships, they would have just won one after that. I think you're saying that Patriot dynasty was from 2001 to like 2007.
I would agree with that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's when I asked you that for this reason. If the Chiefs, I don't know, like the Mahomes not going anywhere. So if we just look at a 10-year run and they win 4-10, 5-10, and we're looking at, you know, them again in the AFC title game most years.
Start doing like, that.
I would say then that would be a dynasty.
But they got one and three,
three
right
and
now.
4 years. But I'm saying, like, I think the window's long enough where if we're talking about a longer period of time, that does lessen the pressure of winning 3 and 4, in my opinion.
Okay. I will say this, though. Like, if let's say they don't win a championship for another 4 years and then they pull off like 3 out of 4 after that, that would be really the dynastic years of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.